we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
Hi, I'm Billy Kinder, and welcome to our camp house here at DSC's Kinder Outdoors. Sure glad you're here. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by Calming Care, from the trusted name Purina. It very gently, over time, settles the overactive dog, the overbarker, the overjumper, the one that leaves your arms all scratched up. It settles that dog. It doesn't drug your dog. Let me be plain about that. But it very gently settles your dog over time. Learn more about Calming Care when you come see me at KinderOutdoors.com. We are going to thoroughly cover the topic of bass on the show today. And we're going to talk to Hall of Famers, guys like Kevin Van Dam and Mark Davis. We're going to learn how to fish them in the fall. We're even going to do a little springtime fishing with Kelly Jordan, talking about bedding bass. That's not that far away for you folks in Florida. That'll start up in just a couple of months, the spawn. And we're going to find out from some of the very best bass anglers on the planet what their family said to them when they told them, hey, I'm going to fish for a living. That'll be a pretty entertaining segment. So, hey, grab yourself a cup of coffee and settle in by the campfire with us. We're sure glad you're here at Kinder Outdoors today. Hey, before we jump into the bass boat, let's climb up in that deer blind. Last Friday, Dylan Vaughn from Dylan Manufacturing and I met out at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery Complex, and we set up that blind that we're giving away in our contest. Our contest this fall is called Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows. That's because we here at Kinder Outdoors are giving away a $4,000 Dylan Manufacturing 6x6 octagon bow and rifle deer blind, hunting blind, wildlife viewing blind that sits on a 5-foot tower. It's got your ladder. It's got a porch. It is an absolute beauty. And then you deck your blind with bows and arrows with a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch. To enter, come see me at KinderOutdoors.com. To see this beauty, visit Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's all set up and ready for you. I'm here with Dylan Vaughn today. We're at Cinnamon Creek Ranch looking over the blind that we're going to be giving you. And this is your top-of-the-line blind, right, Dylan?
This is a 6x6 gunbow combo. This is about as nice as it gets. And on top of that, you even get a 5-foot tower with a porch and staircase on it.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it's an octagon, not a square. That gives me, boy, that opens up a lot of vision.
Yeah, and it makes it usable for rifle and bow hunters, so you can lose no field of vision, basically. So yeah. You get 360 all the way around it.
We were talking about the advantages of hunting out of a blind, obvious things that a lot of guys see and know already, but if someone has said, you know, I've sat on that old 2x6 up in that tree for years and it's worked fine, number one, you're going to be warm and out of the wind.
Well, it allows you, like you said, to be warm out of the wind, but you get a longer hunt. You know, most of the time you get cold, and, you know, if you're in there for an hour, you want to go back and get some coffee and get in the warm air. And with this, you know, you stay warm, and it allows you to hunt longer and possibly, you know, get that big buck that's been hiding you just got to wait on.
Exactly, that booger you've been watching on camera for several years. It also allows you more freedom. You're going to get away with more in one of these. You can't put that 8-year-old up on that 2x6 with you in that tree and expect old Biggin to show up right in front of you. They get comfortable with this, and you can take the kids with you and get away with a little more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is great for having the kids along. I mean, it makes it easy where they can get comfortable, like you said, and get on an iPad, on their phone, whatever they need to do to stay quiet and busy while mom or dad hunts, and it makes it easier for everybody to be more comfortable.
Yeah. You and I are well-traveled hunters. We've hunted all over the country, and I was thinking about South Dakota. I hunt up there quite a bit, and people think, man, that rolling, flat country, no tree. I'm not sure there's a tree in all of South Dakota that would stick out like a sore thumb, but not the case. Set this thing up 30 days, 45 days out before hunting season. They don't see the difference in this and a round bale of hay.
I'll tell you what, those deer will get used to just about anything, and seeing this blind is just another day in their life.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, this sits on top of a 5-foot tower. Let's just walk back here and look at this real quick. A 5-foot tower, and just talk us through the pieces. We'll start here, then there, and then come back up here to these.
So our 5-foot tower, it's a square tubing base. Then we have the porch, obviously, with staircase, and then there's handrails that attach Makes it easier for everybody to get in and out of this blind. It's safer. Overall, it's probably one of our nicest setups that we offer.
Yeah, I love the porch. You can see here, it looks like about 2 feet. That's plenty of room to get up there safely. Set your rifle up, come on up, whatever you need to do there. This whole package, you're going to find this at a retailer near you. If people want to see a list of your retailers and where they might go look at Dillon Blinds in person, where would they go?
Go visit our website, DillonManuf.com, and you'll find all our dealers on a list and a map there.
And that's DillonManuf.com. Come to KinderOutdoors.com, register, and win one just like this, stand and all, right?
Yes, correct. Go to Kinder Outdoors, and you might be the lucky winner here.
I can't wait till we give this bad boy away. We're going to do that just in time for Christmas. So, hey, get entered, KinderOutdoors.com. And if you'll like Kinder Outdoors on Facebook, you're going to get bonus entry opportunities. How about that? We're going bass fishing when I come back from the coffee pot with one of my favorite guys, Mark Davis, up in Arkansas. He's in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, and he's going to talk to us about catching bass in the fall. And coming up a little later, we're going to talk to Kevin Van Dam about the time that he told his family that he wanted to fish for a living. There was one family member that was just not real happy about that.
Hey everybody, it's professional angler Mark Davis. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
We are planning for great crowds and a great time at the 2021 DSC Convention and Sporting Expo, Reflections, February 11th through the 14th, and we'll certainly hope that you're planning to be a part of it as well. Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, and I can assure you that as we make plans to get together again in February, we're also planning to do it safely. Whatever is required to make your visit comfortable, enjoyable, and above all safe, we will do. This is the place where the finest guides and outfitters globally come together to display their opportunities to the hunting and fishing public, and they'll be hungry to do business. You'll also see the finest collections of firearms, art, jewelry, hunting gear, and clothing anywhere. We will have wonderful banquets, live and silent auctions featuring one-of-a-kind collectibles, opportunities and gear, and a family-friendly celebration of our hunting heritage. To learn more, visit biggame.org. And I'll see you in February.
The first time that I gave my taxidermy work to Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas, was way back in 1994. It was a very special little Texas Hill Country whitetail, just a spindly little management buck. But to this day, decades later, still one of the most cherished memories in my home. And it still looks as fresh as it did back then. My son was 10 years old. And this was his very first deer. There have been a lot of years and a lot of memories preserved since that time, and the common denominator in them all is Roy Holdridge and True Life Taxidermy. True Life is trusted by hunters and fishermen from around the world and is called upon to handle the artistry that brings that hunt or fishing trip back to life every time they admire True Life's work in their home, office, or hunt camp. True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Give us your wild game processing order, too. We'll take care of it. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org. If you fry your turkeys during the holiday season and you're tired of the hassle of pots, open flames under hot oil, and sticky, oily messes, then it's time to take a good look at the Cajun Fryer by R&V Works. The original, the last fryer that you'll ever need to purchase. Cajun Fryer puts pro-level frying gear in your backyard or hunt and fish camp. These are high-performance, low-maintenance deep fryers that feature the heat source in the oil. Your oil heats from the inside out. If your family loves a fish fry, Cajun Fryer is a must. Because the heat source is suspended in the oil, small crumbs and pieces that burn fall to the bottom. So your oil stays much cleaner, many times lasting the entire year. Often imitated, never duplicated. Don't be fooled. Take a look at the original Cajun Fryer at CajunFryer.com. Fresh, crisp, delicious every time. CajunFryer.com.
At the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, we're really happy to have more than 50,000 kids in school classrooms learning about archery, fishing, boating, and other outdoor skills each year. We're thrilled that we have grown to schools across the United States and continue to grow. We're humbled that teaching wildlife conservation to our future generations have been so eagerly accepted by more than 250,000 kids so far. We're happy, thrilled, and humbled. But we're not stopping. The Outdoor Adventures program in junior highs and high schools across America has proven to be a hit with kids. And in case after case, we've seen Outdoor Adventures' young lives changed. Kids that just were not into school and not involved are now excited to get into the classroom each day because of Outdoor Adventures. The kids earn classroom credit by learning the outdoor basics, and they smile while learning. If you want Outdoor Adventures in your local school, contact me, Scott McClure. I'm at gootf.com. That's Scott at gootf.com.
Flush that old bird dog out of that chair and have a seat. You're in camp with us at the Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors.
No matter where you live, the DSC is nearby. It could be a DSC chapter near you, or maybe it's a gun range that we fight to protect. It might even be a youngster that we taught to hunt or fish. We are the DSC, biggame.org.
Over the past decade plus, we have traveled many thousands of miles here at Kender Outdoors, covering the world's best bass fishermen. We've seen some amazing things and talked to some really talented guys. Through the years, I've become good friends with Mark Davis, the Hall of Fame bass angler from Mount Ida, Arkansas. A couple of years ago, I called him up to ask how he goes about bass fishing in the fall. What are his winning techniques?
Mark, just when you think that summer's not going to end, old man winter blows in pretty hard.
He does, Billy. You know, seems like a week ago, we were all complaining about how hot it was for, you know, September, early October, and then here it is. All of a sudden, it's looking like, you know, highs in the 40s and stuff like that. So I hope we didn't just completely skip fall, but maybe it'll moderate.
I bet it will, and nothing affects our bass more than a weather change. You know that better than anybody on planet Earth. What does a big front like this that blew through this week, what's that make our bass do? Does it just lock them up?
You know, cold fronts in the fall are actually a good thing. It might slow them down for a day or so, but more times than not, what it does is it bunches them up, schools them up tighter, and they start to feed better. I'm always looking forward to, especially early fall. Now, you know, later on in the fall, cold front can kind of have the same effect as springtime. But right now, these fish, they're wanting the water temperature to cool down just like we're wanting it to cool down. And so a cold front's a good thing. It might be challenging just when, you know, just after it goes through. Maybe you've got the north wind blowing and all that. But in just a day or two, you'll see it really helps the fish.
Well, that's good news. And our patterns change. And I'm a big fan of fall fishing. It's a lot more comfortable out on the boat than it has been for the past 5 or 6 months. And you can really get into a bunch of fish. Like you said, they're schooling up and they're on the move, aren't they?
They are, and fall is my favorite time of the year to fish, always has been. And it's not so much about catching big fish like in the spring. Not to say you can't catch big fish, you can, but it's more of a numbers game in the fall. And you find those big schools where they're grouped up. And I know here at my home, the Kentucky bass, the spotted bass, they really schooled up right now. And we get these cold days, and fishing really gets good. And there's a lot of different ways to catch them too. But I'm looking forward to it.
You betcha. Let's talk about some of your techniques. What do you do now? First of all, the shad are going to be moving, and I've already seen that around here in Texas. It's old shad moving up into the creeks a little bit, and the bass are going to follow those shad. Do you concentrate on creeks this time of year?
For my largemouth fishing, it's mostly creek fishing. It is, and you know, Texas fishing, them fish, once that water temperature gets, mid-70s, mid-70s is kind of like a big turning point. Those shad start to move at the back of the creeks, and the bass follow. But, you know, the thing about fall fishing, and you'll have fish in the creeks that are biting. You'll have fish on the main lake that are biting. You'll have fish out in 25, 30 feet of water that you can catch. You'll have fish in 2 or 3 feet of water in the back of the creek that you can catch. And that's what makes fall fishing fun for me.
It's a real good time to pull out those Strike King crankbaits, isn't it?
It is a good time to crank, and as that water gets colder and colder, you know, the crankbait just gets better and better. You know, we get them water temperatures down into the 60s, and even, you know, later on in the winter, it get on down there into the, you know, mid to high 50s, it even gets better. Of course, you know, this time of the year, up here in my neck of the woods, if I'm cranking, it's funny, I'm either catching them way up shallow, like on a lipless bait or like a square bill, or I'm catching them out with my boat sitting in, you know, 25, 30 feet on a 6XD, you know, off of a ledge where they're, you know, 18, 19 feet of water. Don't seem like much in between. Either they're real deep, you know, out in the creeks, or they're way in the back. But that changes. These fish start moving, and they can be kind of hard to keep up with, too, especially we're getting this rain, and some of these lakes will come up, and you get some rising water, and that really puts those fish to moving as well.
Do you follow the shad, or are you looking for bass on your graph?
Well, both. You know, those deeper fish, you can graph them. Of course, when they get much, you know, shallower than, you know, 10 or 12 feet, they're hard to graph. And you can use side scan on them, but, you know, running right over the top of them, they get too shallow to see them. But, they run out from under your boats, what they do. People don't even realize that. That's what happens when you get up there trying to see them, you know,
yeah,
10 feet or less. But I'm looking for shad of course, I fish too, if I can see them, and just covering a lot of water. You know, I love to crank, but I tell you, I throw a crankbait to find them, and sometimes to catch them as well, but a lot of times you'll find them on a crankbait, and then you'll catch them on a worm or a jig, you know, or something on a Carolina rig or something like that, you know, something a little slower. But then you have those days that you catch them all day long on a crankbait. You don't have to throw anything else. We like that, too.
You betcha. Absolutely. Hey, I can't let you go without asking about your health. You had to miss the elite season this year, and boy, did we miss you. I was at several tournaments throughout the year, and it's just not right when Mark Davis is not there. How are you healing up and coming along?
I'm coming along fine, Billy. I had that hip replacement, and I had my total hip replaced on the right side. And I asked the old doctor, why did my hip wear out? He said, well, it looks like to me you've been standing on one leg with one foot up on that trolling motor pedal way too long. So I guess that's what done it, you know. And I thought about that and thought, I do run the pedal with my left foot a lot, and I'm putting all my weight on my right leg, and I've done that, you know, 30 plus years. So, but anyway, wore it out, but hey, got a new hip and, feel good. And, in fact, I fished an MLF event and had a good event with that. And so getting ready to do another one of those. And then, of course, we've got a whole bunch of them coming up in January. So I'm ready to get back at it.
Good. We're ready to see you get back after it. How are the boys doing? I know that that they've had a pretty good college career or high school career, and had a pretty good coach on the boat with them.
Yeah, the coach, the old coach, is about quit them. I have been gone for the last couple of times they've had high school events, and they've done well. They didn't like the last one they fished. They didn't win. They were second, and someone. Because you're not going to win every one of them. We all know that. But they're doing well. They're still fishing. And, in fact, last night they were hog hunting. And, so I see they got a hog out here. So it looks like we may have some smoked wild hog at some point in time. So yeah, they're all hunting and fishing. That's try to keep them out of trouble.
You betcha, and I know it tickles you to death to watch them grow into this and have their own fun with it.
Absolutely.
Mark, sure good talking to you. Throw another log on that fire and don't venture too far from the coffee pot.
I'll be right here by that coffee pot. Don't you worry. Good talking with you, Billy.
He's in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, my friend Mark Davis, Mount Ida, Arkansas. If you have bird dogs, your time of year is here. Make sure before you hit the road for that hunt this fall that you pick up Fortiflora. Hard hunts can cause GI upset. Fortiflora fixes that.
Hi, I'm Ken Darcy with Remington. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors.
This is Randy Jackson with Teske's Outdoors on Interstate 20, just west of Weatherford. Don't let that next hunt slip up on you without paying us a visit at Teske's. Are you looking for that next rifle, pistol, or new shotgun? You'll find the most dependable names at Teske's like Browning, Beretta, Benelli, Stoger, Winchester, Bagara, and Christensen. Pistols by Sig, Kimber, Cove, Taurus, and Smith & Wesson. If you're having a hard time finding ammo, then come see us at Teske's. We receive regular shipments, even in 9mm. Snake boots sure come in handy in Texas. We have them from Twisted X. If you can't find the Western boots that you're looking for at Teske's, they just don't make it. Take a look at our Sitka clothing and Sims fishing apparel. Teske's Outdoors on the south side of Interstate 20, just a couple of minutes west of Weatherford. From dove to white-tailed deer, at Teske's we're hunters too, and we'd love to visit with you on your way to the ranch.
Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find. Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives. Vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry. A huge selection of bison moccasins. Shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd. 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net.
You love crappie? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you to the Crappie Expo 2020 in Branson, Missouri, October the 30th through November 1st at the Branson Convention Center. Crappie Expo will have over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers showing and selling the greatest and latest crappie fishing products in the world. Crappie Expo 2020 features the richest crappie tournament in history. Catch all the weigh-ins at the Crappie Expo. Hey, you like to eat crappie? The world's largest crappie fry starts at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Crappie Expo. How much crappie can you eat for free? Don't forget to sign up. Free drawings to win a new Ranger or Vexus boat at the Crappie Expo. Must be present to win. Let's see. Crappie Expo 2020 has country music, free crappie, free boats, and crappie fishing products out the kazoo. I'll see you at the Crappie Expo 2020. Be sure to bring the kids. It's trick or treat. Don't you just love Branson? CrappieExpo.com and ExploreBranson.com.
From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and North Fork Rivers at North Fork Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at North Fork Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. North Fork Resort Trout Dock in North Fork, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
You know those great sounds you hear from a pre-sunrise deer stand? And the smell of spring in the turkey woods? We do too. This camp house is home to the Dallas Safari Club and Kender Outdoors.
Come to Dallas February 11th through the 14th for DSC's Convention and Sporting Expo, Reflections. You've never had this much fun raising money for conservation. BigGame.org.
Hey, this is Kender Outdoors. I'm Billy Kender. Welcome to our campfire. Glad you're here. Last year, leading up to Father's Day, I called professional bass angler Dave Lefebvre. I wanted to know what qualities he looks for in a new boat, a bass boat. As we cover all things bass fishing today, I thought we might revisit that conversation with Dave.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'll be fishing on Lake Murray in a matter of minutes here, so enjoy a little conversation with you, and then I've been out chasing smallmouth, so it's a good day. Hey, Father's Day is coming up, and every year I like to include a big ticket item. And this year, it's a brand new bass boat for Dad, Dave. So I want you to talk to us a little bit about the qualities that are important to you and that you look for in a new bass boat. What do you like?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. That's a big ticket item there. everybody needs a bass boat, right?
Yep.
Being where I'm from, you know, one of the most important things to me, you know, is having something that's comfortable. You know, I want a Cadillac because I live on Lake Erie. So, you know, I firmly believe a lot of guys say this too. You know, you don't need all the fancy stuff and $100,000 rig to go out there and catch fish, which is the honest to God's truth. You know, you can do it out of a kayak, my new love. But as far as, you know, the main thing for me is I just want to be comfortable. I want to take care of my back. I want to be able to get where I'm going and get back safely and things like that. Of course, I run a Ranger, you know, the new L series, and just loving the new hull design. I think we're going on 3 years with that particular model. And, I mean, you just can't beat it for the big waves and stuff like that. I could go on and on about, you know, what kind of accessories and things like that, but everything just goes hand in hand.
And you kind of touched on this, but if there's been a windfall in the household and Dad's been wanting that bass boat for years and Mom and the kids are going to surprise him this year, you don't have to instantly think $80,000-$90,000 for a bass boat. You can really get into a really nice Ranger or whatever brand you prefer for a whole lot less money than that.
Yeah, a buddy of mine just bought, I can't remember the model of it, but you can get on Ranger and look. He got a fully decked out, you know, Ranger for half the price of what of something like a Touring Pro's rig cost. So, and they're also, you know, in the aluminum game, if that's what you're into. But, you know, what you said there also reminded me, you know, just the family type of thing. I mean, you can get two in one with a bass boat. It's a good ski boat. It's a good boat for towing tubes and things, which we do with the kids a lot. They have a, you know, so you're not just talking about fishing. You're talking about, you know, just every day on the water, just out there having fun. We get a ski pole as an option with Ranger that I always get every year. Got a nice ladder in the back where you can get in and out easily. It's just a, you know, and the platforms are just nice for kids out there in the boat, just jumping off the boat and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's got it all, really.
You betcha.
Hey, let's talk about length. You can buy a fiberglass bass boat that's 17 feet long. You can go all the way up to 22 and everything in between. And I guess what kind of water you fish is going to determine what you actually need out on the water. Maybe you figure in the length of your garage, the depth of your garage, too, when you're looking at something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Of course, on the Ranger Trail trailers, we got the swing away tongue, which a lot of people, you know, it's amazing how many people don't know that that exists, and it's been around forever, but it gains you a couple of feet, maybe 2.5 feet in your garage. But I think, you know, that's something that, surprisingly, a lot of guys, that's the number one question you get asked when you sell that boat every year. You know, how long is it? I got to fit it in my garage. So that's definitely, you know, an important thing. As far as length, you know, I think our average bass boat length right now is around 20 feet. So I had the choice to go to a 19, 20, 21, 22, this is my third or fourth year going with a 20. It's just a nice all-around good size. It's good for the big water, still goes pretty fast, and it's maneuverable and can get in some tight places with it. So, I'm liking the 20 as an all-around general size.
He has fished and won at the very top level of several tours in his career, and he still fishes at the very top level and wins. Dave Lefebvre, talking about some characteristics you might want to think about before you invest in that new bass boat. This corner of the Camp House is brought to you by calming care from the trusted name Purina. It very gently settles the overactive dog, very safely settles that dog. If you have an overactive dog, learn more about calming care at kinderoutdoors.com. Well, let's spend a couple of minutes growing big bass now with pro angler Gary Klein.
Gary, you know, we are so blessed in the state of Texas to live in the middle of a great bass fishery. I mean, you can just close your eyes and go any direction and be on big bass shortly. Some states don't have that opportunity. Texas might be a good map to follow to grow big bass. What if you lived in the state of, let's just throw Virginia out there, and you want to grow the sport of bass fishing? What are some fundamentals, some things that you could do in that state to grow the sport?
Well, again, you know, Virginia is a great state, and it's got a lot of good fisheries in it. We have competed in Virginia multiple times over my career. In fact, I know Virginia has a BASS Federation that's real strong in conservation. I know in the Bass Federation, the anglers that we have through the Federation that qualify for the Classic, man, this had to be in the mid-80s, we had an angler that almost won and became the first Bass Federation angler to win a Classic was from Virginia, and he's a doctor there. His name was Greg South. What a great angler. So it does take place in Virginia. I'm kind of at the whim of a tournament circuit. So in order for a community to become a host community in the state of Virginia, Chamber of Commerce has to reach out to the organizations and try to put together a plan, work on some dates, and try to, you know, bring that venue to the state of Virginia.
Yeah. Florida, with their trophy catch, Texas with the Sharelunker, they're great ways to communicate biology from the parks and wildlife people to the general fishing public. In Colorado, they've got a lake where they shouldn't have smallmouth bass in there because they are invasive. Would love to go help them with this, but the Parks and Wildlife folks there said, hey, we've got to get all these thousands of smallmouth out of this lake. To do that, they have a two-month fishing derby in the summer and thousands of dollars in prizes for people to win, keeping and catching smallmouth. There are some really good examples around the country of fisheries biology.
Well, there really is, you know, and one of the really cool things about this topic that we're discussing is the fact that it creates a conversation, and no matter what side of the fence you're on, or if you're a weekend angler, if you want to compete, you want to catch smallmouth, want to catch largemouth, hey, I live in Virginia, I like to bring, you know, this focal point back to Virginia, it opens it up for discussion. And, I mean, I talk to fish and game representatives all across the country, and the enthusiasm, I mean, they're all trying to make it better.
Yeah.
They're looking for a plan. They're looking for a thought. And I always refer back to the state of Texas. You know, take look at the examples that we set here in the state of Texas.
Yep, they do a fantastic job. I have to ask you one more question before I let you go. I noticed when you were fishing on Lake Oahe in South Dakota that every now and then you'd reach up and try to swat the flies away, and then you'd reach for a can of something that was helping you out over there. The flies will eat you alive on Lake Oahe. It's surrounded by cattle all the way around. How do you fight all that?
Well, I tell you, there's no doubt about it. I always keep a can of a insect repellent in the boat with me. And, you know, for some reason, South Dakota is almost like the fly capital of the world. It must have been the time of year that we were there, but I'm offshore a mile, and you look in your boat, and you've got several hundred flies, and you never see them fly across the water.
Yeah.
Have no idea how they get there.
And you know what those flies on the floor of your boat are doing? They're waiting their turn to bite Gary on the leg.
Yeah, exactly. But now we have the product to take care of them. It works really good. And I know my boat officials really enjoyed the fact that I had a supply of it with me.
I'm professional angler Gary Klein, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Hunting seasons are here, and that makes us happy at Kinder Outdoors. We've put together a prize package that you don't want to miss out on. We've teamed up with Dillon Manufacturing to give away a 6x6 bow rifle combo hunting blind sitting on a 5-foot tower. Then it's off to Cinnamon Creek Ranch with a $2,000 shopping spree. Register now at KinderOutdoors.com. Deck the blind with bows and arrows this fall with Dillon Hunting Blinds, Cinnamon Creek Ranch, and Kinder Outdoors. Ooh. Register now at KinderOutdoors.com.
I'm Tom Watson with Bended Knee International, asking you to pray for the Navajo people of New Mexico and Arizona. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit these native people exceptionally hard. In many cases, multiple families live in the same home. Water is carried from muddy streams for household use, and medical care is many miles away. I simply ask that you join me in lifting them up to the Lord. To learn more, please visit bendedknee.org.
Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Toxie Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on. TheHarvestMovie.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. I want to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. Hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care, custody, and control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly-off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Cacheria. Chance me in Argentina.
Tailing redfish on the fly rod, fresh walleye in a skillet, big time turkeys running to your call, a massive 6x6 within 30 yards, and a new personal best in the bass boat. That's life at our camp at Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
DSC is extremely cautious with your money. We research and know that the projects we support will indeed positively impact the future of wildlife and habitat, your rights as an outdoorsman or woman, and ensure that our kids and grandkids will have the opportunity and training to carry on the outdoors heritage. What's your money at work at biggame.org.
I remember as a kid growing up, bass were delicious on the dinner table. You ask people that question today, do you eat bass? And a lot of them will turn their nose up at you. But they truly are very good. As a matter of fact, many of our biologists urge us to keep some of those smaller bass for the table. Let's ask our camp house chef, John Bonnell, what he likes to do with those largemouth bass.
Master Chef John Bonnell, you know, I was recently fishing with a guy who has this cool business. It's called Private Water Fishing, John, and you can actually pay this guy like an annual fee to be a member, and then you get to go fish these really cool private lakes. Well, part of that is managing the lakes, and we're pulling a lot of 1 and 2 pound bass out of there that we kind of want to cull. Largemouth bass, people have forgotten with catch and release, they're pretty darn good to eat.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, and a 1 to 2 pounder is kind of the ideal eating size. If you know how to use your fillet knife, a largemouth can be fantastic.
What do you do with yours?
I'll tell you the easiest thing to do, and this will work around the campfire, on your grill, anything you want. Take a nice fillet, boneless, skinless, put it into a foil packet. You know, make a little foil pouch inside, make sure you season it well with salt and pepper, a few sprigs of fresh dill, a couple of lemon slices, a splash of white wine, pop it on the grill over the campfire for about 6 to 8 minutes. As soon as it starts to steam a little bit, can't go wrong.
That's good. And what do we complement that with?
Absolutely. How about a little Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot Grigio, something on the light side. Cold beer always works.
We are so blessed here at Kender Outdoors to have top-notch pros, guys like Gary Klein that you heard a few minutes ago, and this guy, KJ, Kelly Jordan from Major League Fishing. Let's fast forward to spring and talk to him about those big bedding bass.
Kelly, one of the most exciting times of year for a lot of bass fishermen is springtime when they can actually see those big mamas up there on the bed. We can blow that situation real easy. We want to approach with caution and choose the right bait to throw to them. What do you like to throw to bass on beds?
Well, there's a lot of things that you know, I have in my arsenal. Say I'm at a sight fishing event or, you know, spawning event. I'll always have at least one swim bait tied on, because you can catch a lot of fish that are either not on the beds and really close, because we all know the big females are going to be either on the beds or real close or on beds that you can't see.
Right.
They're probably going to be shallow or in the vicinity of trying to get shallow. So you can capitalize and get some really big bites on a swim bait. That's what a swim bait does. It gets great big bites. Always have a big swim bait. I mean, I'm talking about the big ones, too. The big, you know, ospreys, that kind of stuff. Usually, you know, the non-weighted ones, the ones that go maybe surface to maybe a foot or two down, you just slow roll them in. While I'm looking, another deadly bait to use for, you know, fishing around is, you know, all the weightless baits that we have nowadays that are all the descendants of the wacky worm,
yeah,
which was formed, you know, first done right here in East Texas. You know, the I guess progression of the wacky worm is the all-time favorite, the Cinco. The Cinco is, if it's not the most deadly spawn time bait that there is, it's in the top two or three. Always have one of those tied on. It's the great bait for blind casting, fishing around in the spawn, and also for fishing beds. When I'm fishing beds, my preferred way to catch them is when I'm not looking at them. I'll find them, and then I know where they are, and then I try to let them rest and get to where they don't know I'm there anymore. I always give them a good workover with long distance with a weightless bait of some sort. Then when you have to go in and go toe-to-toe with them, say, okay, that's not working either. I'm going to have to work them over. You know, and that's getting in the bed, figuring out where the sweet spot is in the bed sometimes, you know, to where there's only one place where your bait is that really makes them mad and they're liable to bite. Or if they're leaving and barely coming back. I mean, there's a million scenarios. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But generally, you know, I throw Texas Rig soft plastics on them, and there's several that I use. I like to use tubes. I like to use a couple creature baits. Texas Rig trick worm or finesse worm is always deadly. That's probably, if I had one bait, that would probably be it. First sight, visually sight fishing, a Texas Rig trick worm. You know, almost a shaky head, but I'm throwing a lot of times on 25-pound line with a big hook and about a quarter or 3/8 ounce weight.
Right.
Lizards are good.
Yep.
You know, there's little crawfish is probably one of my favorite ones, too. There's a lot of little baits now that are really realistic and look like brim, crawfish, you know, you name it, some other kind of baits. Those can be deadly, too. So that's pretty much the three things I use. I use a swim bait, I use a weightless bait, and I use something Texas Rig. Now, you can use a jig. Yep. A lot of times a jig is real effective on a bed. I think sometimes when the skirt is there, it kind of moves a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I would tell you this. If you're trying to catch a really big bass, a jig is not the way to go. Hmm. It is a lot easier to put a lot bigger hook in a Texas Rig bait. And you can get it removed farther from that lead head.
Right.
And once you have them on, they can shake around and throw the lead at the line if it's Texas Rig, whatever. I just think that not only is your hooking ratio as good, your landing ratio, which is the most important part, is I would much rather have about a 7-aught Texas Rig something down there than a jig with a 5-aught hook if I have a big bass
right
down there. You know, that's my personal preference, and I've caught a lot of big ones.
Yep, you have.
You know, each his own. Jig is deadly, but, man, they have these things out there that are skirts that you can put on a Texas Rig now.
Yeah.
You know, there's several of those out there. So if you want the skirt on there, I think it does the same thing a jig does. You can have that 6-aught or 7-aught hook on there on some kind of really deadly-looking Texas Rig soft plastic. And then when you set the hook, you got nothing but hook there
right. With
that big fish. So, you know, that's my, you know, opinions, my preferences. You know, but each is on there. Everybody has a little wrinkle they like to throw, a little favorite little color or bait. I will tell you this on colors. The most natural colors generally will catch them way faster
right. Than
the bright colors. A lot of people like to throw whites and chartreuses and even oranges because they can see where the bait is.
Right.
Now, if that's important to you, go ahead and do that because they will bite those colors. Right. But you can't, if you have some kind of green or brown looking bait out there that's real natural color, 95% of the time you'll catch them way faster on a natural color bait than a bright color bait. Just so you know. Nothing you can, but there it is.
There it is. You were talking about seeing the bait, sight fishing. Oakley, I know, is one of your partners supporting Kelly Jordan. Man, that really can help a day of fishing. That can really help your accuracy. That can help you see what's going on. Your sunglasses can actually help you get more, set the hook more.
Well, you know, it's like this. You got to have a good pair of polarized sunglasses. If you don't, you'll probably never see them on the bed. And then when we get into this polarized sunglasses, it's just like different brands of binoculars out there,
right. Different
brands of scopes.
Right.
There's a really base model ones, and then there's the super high-end ones.
Yeah.
And is there a difference? Absolutely. I cannot tell you how much difference there is. You may not think there is a difference,
there is. But
I can go with somebody in the boat with a different pair of glasses than my Oakleys, and a whole bunch of them, I can say, do you see that fish right over there? And they'll never see him.
Right.
Or if they do, they really can't kind of get him. You know, there is a difference.
Yeah.
There's a quality glasses. You know, it's not just in the tints and the colors. That's a big part of it, but it's also in the actual processing of the lens and how they transmit light and how good of an image that they form and, you know, where it lets you see the fish. Quality polarized sunglasses are a must. And Oakley polarized sunglasses are the best polarized glasses on the market. I'm not the only guy that thinks that.
He's not saying that because they're his sponsor, one of his sponsors. You wouldn't wear that patch on your shirt if it didn't work, and I know that. I appreciate that about you.
Well, before Oakley was ever one of my sponsors, I got to try. I was given a pair when they first broke into the polarized glass market. I got a pair of Oakley polarized sunglasses 1 week before we had a sight fishing tournament in Santee Cooper, South Carolina. First time I'd ever used Oakley polarized sunglasses. Been sight fishing my whole life. Used all kind of different glasses.
Sure.
Well, guess what? I won that tournament.
And he's still wearing his Oakley.
And I caught him right around guys that didn't see the same fish I was looking at, and I caught and I won that tournament by catching a lot of really big bass. And let me tell you, it is amazing.
Kinder Outdoors will be right back.
We knew you were coming when we heard your truck rattle across that old cattle guard. Welcome to our camp at Kinder Outdoors with our partners at the Dallas Safari Club.
Next year never looks so good. I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director at DSC, inviting you to the DSC's Hunters Convention and Expo, February 11th through the 14th. You bet we're making plans because conservation doesn't stop. Details are at biggame.org.
Kinder Outdoors is at kinderoutdoors.com. K-I-N-D-E-R. That's where you can register to win our Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows contest that we just kicked off a couple of weeks ago. We're giving away a $4,000 Dillon Manufacturing 6x6 octagon bow and rifle hunting blind. It's their top-of-the-line blind. It sits on a 5-foot tower with ladder and porch. And we're throwing in a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch Archery Wild Game Processing and Event Center. Pretty cool, huh? $6,000 package. And all you have to do is go to kinderoutdoors.com and register. This corner of the camp house at Kinder Outdoors is brought to you by the world's greatest dog fuel, and that is Purina Pro Plan. There's a Pro Plan formula specifically built for your dog, no matter the age or the lifestyle, activity level. Pick up the Pro Plan formula that best suits your dog at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, Arkansas, and Missouri. Hey, we're talking about bass fishing today. And when my bass fishing memories come up, I'll never forget the day that Robin and I spent with Forrest and Nina Wood, the father of the modern-day bass boat, at the Forrest Wood Outdoor Sports Gallery in Flippin, Arkansas, right across the road from the old Ranger Boat Factory. I heard a pretty good fish tale that day.
Now, Forrest, this will catch any fisherman's eye right over here. 447.9-pound total caught in a single day by Nina Wood. Do you know her?
Her name on that?
She got her name on there.
Well, I'm a son of a gun.
And Wanda Tester. That's yeah. Right. Okeechobee, Florida. Nina, come here and talk to me about this beautiful display of bass that we've got over here. My goodness, what a day you had.
Well, that's right. But we had a friend that lived here, and he moved to Florida and was guiding down there. And every time we went down there, he wanted to take me out fishing while Forrest was fishing tournaments. And I really didn't want to do that because I didn't think it looked real good. And Forrest said, you're going to have to go with Lloyd sometime to keep him happy. So I decided to go that day. And we went out and we caught these. And I said, I'll never catch that nice a string of fish again, so I'm going to have them mounted. So we had them mounted in Florida, but I didn't put them on the driftwood. I did that after I got them here.
Yeah.
But the day they came in here, they came and delivered them to Forrest's office up at the Ranger, and I went down the hall, and he had my bass out of holding them up. Somebody was visiting with him, and he was getting his picture made.
Well, I'm about to. So there's 9 fish there, and you and Wanda fished together that day.
Right.
Who caught 5 and who caught 4?
Well, I think I caught most of them.
Forrest and Nina Wood. We lost Forrest Wood earlier this year, and what a loss that was. Hey, if you're ever in the Flippin, Arkansas area, you really need to stop by the Forrest Wood Outdoor Sports Museum and Gallery. It's something else. And you'll see that big string of bass that Nina caught. Another great story from the history of bass fishing is the history of Bass Pro Shop. Larry Whiteley, the voice of Bass Pro Shops, sat down with me and visited about that one day.
Actually, Johnny was going to college, Drury College in Springfield. And he was fishing at that time the fledgling BASS circuit, and actually qualified. I don't know, a lot of people don't know this. He qualified for 5 Bassmaster Classics.
Yeah.
But as he was out there, he'd see a lot of equipment and stuff that he couldn't find back here in Springfield, Missouri. So he went to the local Kmart store and tried to talk to the sporting goods manager into stocking this stuff. That guy had to go to his home office. They turned him down. So Johnny, frustrated, borrowed some money from his dad, got the old car, hooked a trailer on behind him and a guy, and went across the country buying up that stuff, and then took it back to that liquor store. And he talked his dad into the late foot section, put that merchandise in there. The guys would come in there to go to the lakes to go fishing, buy that stuff and buy other things while they're in the liquor store, but ice and stuff.
Sure.
But then he'd get calls later saying, hey, have you got a flyer or a catalog? We can order this stuff back in Texas or back in Iowa or wherever they were from. And so he started making a flyer, sending out. And then that grew to a catalog, and that kept growing. And then, of course, it grew out of the 8-foot section into a used to be a bowling alley, and then kept growing from there. In fact, where the Springfield
store... Could you still bowl at the bowling alley and buy lures?
No, but you can in some of our stores now. We have bowling alleys in them, which is kind of interesting now. But where the Kmart stores, he tried to talk them into carrying that stuff, and they wouldn't do it. That is now Bass Pro Shops Outdoor World Springfield, the number one tourist attraction in the state of Missouri.
Isn't that amazing the way things come around? Something else. Now, back when Johnny was fishing BASS, he was fishing with names like Ray Mirsky, Bill Dance, Spence, those early guys that came along. And those are some of the guys that were buying from him and hanging out behind the liquor store.
Oh, that's right. And Bill Dance, of course, a real good friend of ours, and Johnny are doing stuff together. But, yes, those guys hung around, and Johnny started having what he called his spring classic, and those guys would come in to help him with those and give autographs and seminars and stuff. And we still do that today, our spring fishing classic. Yeah, they were there.
Larry Whiteley talking about the history of Bass Pro Shops. Johnny Morris had a pretty good idea way back when, huh? Hey, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and build a big bass outfit with Kelly Jordan. And Ray Sasser talks about bass fishing. Who's hooked? The bass or you? This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Purina Pro Plan. Hey, for your hard-working bird dog guys, it's Pro Plan Performance Formula. 30% protein, 20% fat, and it's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores.
Hi, I'm Craig Posse with Bass Pro Boating Outlet Center. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it on Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
At DSC, the mission has been so solid and successful in the areas of hunter advocacy, education, and conservation that our membership has grown to include people from around the globe. Like-minded conservationists that know the importance of teaching young people how to fish, hunt, camp, and conserve. If you share the desire to pass along these great rights to your children and their children as well, consider a DSC membership. Dallas Safari Club is truly an international organization with our roots and annual convention and expo in Dallas, Texas. But there are DSC chapters all across America. We believe that the North American model of science-based conservation put in place by men like Teddy Roosevelt and duplicated in countries worldwide works. We carefully vet and support groups that purely work towards science-based conservation. We spend a great deal of time and money on our future generations, sharing our rich hunting history and heritage. DSC also stands toe-to-toe every day against the forces that would abolish your gun rights and your right to hunt and fish. Stand with us. Visit biggame.org.
You might hunt the South Pasture, or maybe the Double Tanks. You've watched that big 10-point for 4 years now. Maybe he'll show up. Or maybe it's a doe you'll hang in the cooler tonight. We're almost out of sausage links and taco meat. Maybe a pig will come by today. Among all the maybes, there is an absolute. Take your wild game to Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. The Masacchio family and their decades of family recipes will have your guests at a whitetail dinner complimenting you on the beef.
Because the way we season them, and then we cryovac them, vacuum seal them, and then let them sit, and then we put them in the freezer. So the spices get to work on the meat for a little bit. If you'll cook them just like a regular filet, you know, like medium rare or rare, it's perfect. I mean, you can't tell the difference.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or Nastra. This was the very idea of Nastra's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in Nastra field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. Nastra sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his Nastra championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and Nastra's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
Our warm campfire is always the gathering spot, no matter the weather. Tall tales and life's tough spots get worked out here. This is Kender Outdoors, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Over the past several years, many thousands of kids have started hunting, fishing, and loving the outdoors because of DSC. A great many poachers have been put out of business, and our elected officials know that we as outdoorsmen and women mean business. Come be a part of something important. DSC is at biggame.org.
Hey, we're talking about bass on the show today. Bass boats, bass stories, bass people, and now bass rigs. If you were headed for Falcon Lake or Okeechobee, Gunnersville, or Lake Fork, Texas, and you were in search of an absolute giant, you'd want to be prepared when that sucker took the bait. So let's get prepared. Kelly Jordan and I had that conversation a few years ago. Kelly is a big bass specialist, and he's going to help us build something that big girl can't strip the gears out of. Kelly Jordan, KJ, if anybody knows, it's you. Is there a 20-pound bass swimming around in Lake Fork somewhere?
Absolutely. There's one probably a lot bigger than that. There's so many big fish in there that I guess they're so adapted and so, smart because of the fishing pressure that there's a lot of fish that will never be hooked. You know, long, long time ago, they found 2 20-pounders dead. One was actually 21 pounds that they found, you know, floating dead, and nobody caught those or lost those or, you know, ever landed one that big. Our state record is still at a Lake Fork, and it's 18 pounds. Now, I'm pretty sure I've seen one bigger than that and on a bed or swimming around during the spawning season and, of course, didn't catch it. And I am positive that I have hooked one that was 20 pounds or bigger before. And, of course, I lost that or we'd be talking about my Texas State record right now. But, man, they're in there. And, golly, man, I hope somebody catches one. Everybody's been waiting for that to be broken in the state of Texas for a long, long time. Yeah. But I firmly believe that there's one in there.
Okay. Here's my point. I want to go with Kelly Jordan to Lake Fork, and I want to plan for that 20-pound fish. But he's going to have the capability of just smoking my gear in my hand. He's going to melt it. So let's go shopping. Let's build the perfect combo, the perfect system for hanging onto that fish. What are we going to do?
Well, you know, that's kind of an open question because there's a lot of different ways to catch a big bass. But if there was going to be one way, I'd say you definitely want a premium reel. And this is a reel with really strong drag. That's a very smooth drag. Good gears. You want a pretty high retrieve ratio to be able to catch up to that fish if he's swimming towards you and then be able to hold on to it when it gets away and not overload your drag or break your line.
You say a pretty good fast gear ratio. What are we talking about?
At least a 6-to-1.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty much all I use is 6.1 to 1 or 6.3 to 1, somewhere in that range or even higher. You want a fast reel that's nice and smooth. You know, premium reel is perfect with a good drag. That's first and foremost. Second off, you need a really good rod. My favorite rods right now are Duckett Micro Magic rods. They have micro guides on them, and they're very strong and sensitive. Because of those micro guides, you have a lot of sensitivity, so you can feel that fish when he bites. Plus, they're a very strong rod that helps you set the hook and land that bass. Rod is important. I would probably go with a 7 to 7.5 foot rod, probably a medium heavy or a heavy action rod, and that covers a lot of different techniques.
And what are we going to spool on this thing?
Line size. You need a really strong line. I would probably, you know, it depends what you're using, so I guess I'll get to pick two. One of them would be 25-pound fluorocarbon line, okay. And that would be used on pretty much, you know, anything, soft plastics, jigs, spinner baits, chatter baits, you name it, you know, big baits like that, swim baits. Mm-hmm. And the other one would be braid. And the braid is, if I was in really heavy cover or I was night fishing, I'd be using braided line. And I'd use at least a 50-pound braid, probably a 65. And that'd be my two. If I just had two, that's what I would hope. I'd have one of those two lines on my rod when I did hook that giant bass.
Well, we got the hard work out of the way. Now all we have to do is catch that 20-pound fish.
Yeah, it ought to be easy now. Somebody should be able to do it next week. You know, giddy up out there.
Kinder Outdoors Pro. Kelly Jordan from Major League Fishing. Thanks, KJ. Hey, don't forget the pro plan before you hit the road to Montana, Minnesota, Wyoming, wherever you're taking the bird dogs this fall. Pro plan performance formula, 30% protein, 20% fat. It's fed by 89% of the field trial champions across North America. 89%. Purina Pro Plan performance formula. It's at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. My late friend Ray Sasser and I spoke many times about bass fishing. It was one of his favorite things to talk and write about and do. Here's Ray.
Largemouth bass are every man's game fish, the white-tailed deer of the hook and line set. As another big bass season looms, let's take a closer look at the unlikely scaly holy grail for more than a million Texas anglers. We're talking, after all, about a fish with Mick Jagger's mouth, bulging eyes, and the physique of a sumo wrestler. Back in the deep woods of East Texas, where the overhead canopy is so dense that sunlight seldom strikes the ground, we used to call them green trout. Bass are not closer to an actual trout, taxonomically, than a shark is close to a catfish. I'm not certain it was my first green trout I'd ever caught, but I have fond memories of slipping my uncle's fly rod out of his closet and hiking to a small pond behind his house in Nacogdoches. In those days, you just went fishing with little regard for who owned the pond. The fly rod was already rigged with a popping bud. After hanging the popper in a pine tree, shinning up to get it free and breaking the leader, I tied it all back together in a series of hard knots that would cause nightmares for Dave Whitlock. I then somehow managed to hit the water with that little yellow bug. A bass, probably 7 or 8 inches long, took offense at the popper and promptly nailed it. In the ensuing excitement, the bass wound up flopping on the bank and the leader wound up back in the pine tree. I'd actually caught a bass, but I was the one who was hooked. Ironically, it was 30 years later before I caught another bass on a fly. From Alabama to the west coast of Mexico, from Cuba to Oklahoma, I've caught thousands of bass on conventional casting tackle. This qualifies for the title bass fisherman. That term spans the social ranks from a cane polar dipping minnows to a stereotypical bass boater, his bank account emptied by the glistening fiberglass steed he pulls behind a worn-out pickup, to the millionaire who does his fishing at exclusive private clubs. Many bass fishermen are wannabes who daydream that they're Kevin Van Dam winning the Bassmasters Classic, just as the first baseman for the church softball league daydreams he's wearing Yankee pinstripes. What is this smelly, slimy apparition that causes grown men to speak in gibberish of patterns, laydowns, majors, and minors? What can entice a man to forsake his family every weekend to fight the wind, the cold, the rain in hopes of catching a bass, knowing full well that the average statewide catch rate is 0.25 bass per hour? That's 4 hours of fishing on average to catch a single bass. Hey, but who's average, right? I just do bass fishing socially. I can quit anytime. Really, those guys who abuse it, they've got a problem, but that's not me. Honest, I can quit anytime. So what if I've got 20 rods and reels? That doesn't mean I got a problem. Lots of Texas anglers have a bass on their back. Of the 1.6 million Texans older than 16 who fish, an estimated 1 million of them are into the hard stuff. They fish for bass. It's an expensive habit. Over $2 billion per year spent just in Texas alone. Bass fishing is not just a Texas problem, though. Nationwide, 42% of all recreational anglers concede they have at least tried bass on occasion. At least in Texas, we have a ready supply. Nearly 2 million acres of public water all support bass, and that's not counting the thousands of private lakes and ponds or the thousands of miles of rivers and streams. No, sir. That's one of the most important lessons about bass. You can't stop the supply. Bass live in golf course hazards at swank country clubs, and you'll find them, possibly in chemically altered states, in the worst stretches of the Trinity River. Bass are the poor man's marlin, the working stiff steelhead. They're simple as you let them be, as complex as you make them. They're the green trout, so successful at what they do that real trout are green with envy. You think you know how to hook a bass? Look in the mirror. You're the one who's hooked.
My old buddy Ray Sasser left a lot of wisdom behind in this world. There's a little piece of it. Another guy that I enjoyed spending time with and is no longer with us is the mastermind behind the growth of Strike King Lure Company. We're going to learn some great history from the late Ray Mirsky when we come back from the coffee pot.
I'm Craig Boddington. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it at Kinder Outdoors.
Love crappie. Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here, inviting you to the Crappie Expo 2020 in Branson, Missouri, October the 30th through November 1st at the Branson Convention Center. Crappie Expo will have over 90 crappie fishing manufacturers showing and selling the greatest and latest crappie fishing products in the world. Crappie Expo 2020 features the richest crappie tournament in history. Catch all the weigh-ins at the Crappie Expo. Hey, you like to eat crappie? The world's largest crappie fry starts at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Crappie Expo. How much crappie can you eat for free? Don't forget to sign up. Free drawings to win a new Ranger or Vexus boat at the Crappie Expo. Must be present to win. Let's see. Crappie Expo 2020 has country music, free crappie, free boats, and crappie fishing products out the gazoo. I'll see you at the Crappie Expo 2020. Be sure to bring the kids. It's trick or treat. Don't you just love Branson? CrappieExpo.com and ExploreBranson.com.
There are some very important factors to check when purchasing a hunting blind. They need to be quiet. They need to have an all-day hunt level of comfort. It's got to be dry inside, even in a downpour. Dillon hunting blinds have earned a strong reputation across North America for their durability, insulation, and marine decking fiberglass floor that will never rot in every blind. Plus smart components like an aluminum RV-type door, real glass in the windows that flip in and up with quiet and simple-to-use friction hinges, drip rails on the windows and above the door to keep the wet out. Hey, anyone can build a box. Dillon builds hunting blinds, conceived, drawn up, constructed, and used by hunters. Lightweight and durable, completely assembled, fiberglass inside and out with foam insulation in between. You can't beat a Dillon. For a dealer near you or to become a dealer, visit DillonManuf.com. That's DillonManuf.com.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave. From high school gyms to towering stadiums, every time I see our flag wave, I feel a humbling reminder of the brave who keep and have kept us free. I stand to honor the sacrifices of the generations before me. Heroes who charged into battle through bombs and bullets, who lost their brothers and still pushed through, fighting for every inch of our freedom. I stand for my brothers who can't stand anymore, men who hunted terrorists to the ends of the earth, who sacrificed their bodies and their lives so that we could peacefully live ours. I stand for the children, the spouses, and parents whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for us. We are all standing. We're the National Rifle Association of America, and we are freedom's safest place.
Way out in West Texas on Highway 287, about 40 miles east of Amarillo, is one of the coolest roadside stops that you'll find.
Right there on the south side of the highway sits the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Buffalo Gold features wonderful Western art, one-of-a-kind jewelry, and all things buffalo. Belts, boots, and bison leather products of all kinds. Our buffalo wool socks, gloves, hats, beanies, and more will keep you warm like never before during the coldest winters. And that road trip will feel better, too, with a soft and cozy buffalo down knit throw or lap robe. Unique and beautiful Damascus steel kitchen knives. Vintage Navajo sterling and turquoise jewelry. A huge selection of bison moccasins. Shoes and boots for hunting, working, or just looking great. Stop in and see us at the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store. Yes, we do have our own herd. 40 miles east of Amarillo near Goodnight, Texas. BuffaloGold.net.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Tech rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number 2 hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
Ever been dropped off in a remote wilderness where the bears outnumber people 10 to 1? And the mosquitoes have been known to carry off full-grown moose? Lucky, join us in camp and tell us about it at Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club.
DSC has provided many thousands of kids with the first steps of a lifetime to enjoyment in the shooting sports, hunting, and fishing. Your ticket to DSC's Hunter Expo in February will help to ensure that future generations will too. BigGame.org.
Welcome back to Kender Outdoors. Don't forget to visit us online, kenderoutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R, kenderoutdoors.com. That's where you can register to win our contest, Deck the Blind with Bows and Arrows, a $6,000 value. Giving away a Dillon Manufacturing 6x6 octagon bow and rifle hunting blind. It sits on a 5-foot platform with ladder and porch. Also, a $2,000 shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing and Cinnamon Creek Archery Facility. Heck of a deal. Register at kinderoutdoors.com. Ray Mirsky was quite a character. If you're in the fishing industry, you know who I'm talking about. If not, I'll tell you this. He loved to smile, he loved people, and he loved Strike King Lure Company. That was his company. And he was a walking bass fishing history. You fished in the very first ever BASS tournament.
That's right.
I saw a picture of you and Bill Dance and Ray Scott, and I think you all had pimples. You couldn't have been more than 15 years old.
Yeah, that's right. Ray Scott had the first tournament there, and at Beaver Lake, Arkansas,
yeah,
in 1967, and he called me. I was involved with a Hunting and Fishing Weekly newspaper, and he asked me, could I get somebody to come up to fish his tournament? And I said, well, I know a few people down here, but we've never fished tournaments, so I can't tell you whether they're going to come or not. But anyway, I had 7 guys beside myself go up there with me. So out of his 106 first entries, I got him 7, and that's the beginning of a great relationship with Ray Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw him here at the Classic, and he hasn't lost his zest to make a dollar. I can tell you that much. he's still there.
He was genius with what he started.
He really was. He had a vision, and he had a dream, and he went through a lot of rough times, and I was glad to be on the beginning of that thing, and those are times and friends that I'll cherish as long as I live.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, great memories.
Yep.
Seems like some of those times when you're struggling to pay the rent and you're working so hard, you look back when you get further down the road, and those are some of the most cherished times of your life.
They really are. They are absolutely some of the highlights of my life, and I hope I never, ever lose those memories. I really do.
Thinking back to that very first tournament, where did you place in that thing? Because you did pretty well.
I placed third or fourth in it. I can't remember, but I know one thing. I got a trophy and I got a check.
Yeah.
And the check wasn't much, and the trophy was a lot bigger than the check. I'm sure Ray got a deal on the trophies. That's why he gave big trophies away. But, yeah, we really did. And I got to tell you a quick story about the second day of the hunt, the second day of the fishing tournament. I was fishing with a guy named Carl Baby Dykes. And we met in the morning, and the night before, he asked me if I had any frog-colored chuggers. And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, you better go get some. He said, because we're going to catch them on frog-colored chuggers. And I said, well, I don't want more buying chuggers. So we went to a Walton variety store, and sure enough, they had two or three frog-colored chuggers. And within the first two or three minutes of the tournament, he knew where he was going. I didn't know where he wanted me to go. We fished out of my boat, so he picked the choice. And his first two casts, back-to-back, he caught four bass, all weighers, on the frog-colored chugger. and it was, you know, it was a great day. I ended up, he had a little bit of a rough night. He drank a little bit too much of that brown juice, and he didn't stay awake very long. He went to sleep in the bottom of my boat, and by the time he woke up, I had my 10 fish limit, and I ended up catching more fish than he did.
Ray Mirsky, he left a giant impression on the fishing industry, specifically the bass fishing industry. And just like fishing in the first ever BASS tournament, his roots were deep in the industry side.
Yeah, it was in existence. That first tournament we fished there at Beaver Lake, a guy by the name of Charles Spence and another guy by the name of Bill Dance fished with me or against me. And Charles at that time had made an agreement to buy the name Strike King from a local manufacturer there in Memphis, right outside of Memphis, Collierville.
Mm-hmm.
And Dance was a furniture salesman.
Bill Dance.
Yeah, and Charles was a used furniture salesman, and he and his wife, Susie, made spinnerbaits at night in their garage, and that's how they started Strike King after they bought the name. And, of course, I was with them from the beginning. In 1971, I was on the road coming back from Shreveport on a Friday afternoon, and I get a call from Charles Spence. He said, look, buddy, he says, no, he really called me Buck, because he called everybody Buck.
Yeah.
And he said, look, Buck, he says, why don't you come to work for me and sell Strike King? And he said, we'll make this company grow. We made a deal over the telephone, and I went to work for him. And 1994, when he decided he was going to become a full-time cutting horse guy, he called me and wanted to sell it. And we bought it, 1995. And it's been a great experience ever since.
Looking back through the years, what are some of your favorite products that Strike King has introduced to the market, put out there?
Well, you know, we've had a bunch of winners.
The original
bait that really set us apart from everybody was the Strike King Scout. It was a wooden bait, and it was a topwater bait or a shallow swimming bait.
Uh-huh.
And it had a big lip on it, kind of like a jitterbug.
Yeah.
But you could throw it into the deepest brush, and it'd work itself out. And that's how we really, really got to the front of it. And then, of course, having Bill Dance work with us, that helped, because Bill was the Arnold Palmer fishing at that time, and he helped us design a vast array of Strike King spinnerbaits. And that's really where Strike King came aboard, is the spinnerbait business.
Yeah.
And then we had, my gosh, we had frogs, and we got into the crankbaits, and it was just, you know, one after another.
Hey, what makes a good fishing lure? What's it all boil down to? Will it catch fish? I know, but when you start making one, what are you doing?
Well, you really look for the quality of the lure to be, number one, easy for the fisherman to work, easy for him to or her to throw it. easily catches fish. You want somebody to enjoy the bait and have a strong belief or faith in the bait that'll catch fish. And, you know, that gets tough. Yeah. I mean, it really gets tough. Like, I'm not much of a crankbait fisherman, but Kevin Van Dam has taught us how everybody can catch fish on a crankbait. Mm-hmm. And you really have to have it right for the bait to run correctly. You can't have it going off at a different angle. You just have to have it work where people can develop a strong confidence in the bait.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something, Bill. It gets tougher to do all the time.
It can't be easy to do.
Because I bet we have 50 to 100 calls a week at Strike King's plant with somebody that's got a new idea.
Really?
And some ideas are unique. And we have a policy at Strike King where we try to look and listen at every bait. Because anybody who's got an idea, because you never know when they have a winner.
There's some old boy sitting in a boat that does that about every other day all year long.
That's right.
And he knows what he's talking about.
And he whittles away and he comes up with an idea. And all of our soft plastic success has come from a guy we do business with. His name is Steve Parks. And he came up with the Rage Tail series. And my gosh, we have sold millions of Rage Tail baits in the last few years. And it was all his idea. So you really can't pass up an opportunity. You got to listen to everybody.
Some pretty cool history from Ray Mirsky and his Strike King Lure Company.
I'm professional angler Kevin Van Dam. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Kinder Outdoors. Billy, let's go fishing.
Hunting seasons are here, and that makes us happy at Kinder Outdoors. We've put together a prize package that you don't want to miss out on. We've teamed up with Dillon Manufacturing to give away a 6x6 bow rifle combo hunting blind sitting on a 5-foot tower. Then it's off to Cinnamon Creek Ranch with a $2,000 shopping spree. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com. Deck the blind with bows and arrows this fall with Dillon Hunting Blinds, Cinnamon Creek Ranch, and Kinder Outdoors. Ooh. Register now at kinderoutdoors.com. Imagine a change in Hollywood's message. Imagine a big screen version of your life telling your story as a God-fearing, red-blooded hunter. Manifesting your God-given right and skill to gather groceries in the woods and pray over them on the dinner table. Lots of folks seem to think this film is a great idea.
This is Michael Waddell.
I'm Tachi Hayes.
Hey, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent.
And want to partner with you to build the first ever hunter-funded, God-glorifying movie centered around our hope, our heritage, our harvest. What this world needs is a hunter. You make this world a better place. Come on, theharvestmovie.com.
These are unsettling and even scary times for many people. But for others, there's peace, even as an angry world cries out. The source of that peace is Jesus Christ. I'm John Watson, pastor at Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas. At Cornerstone, we teach the Bible with no man-made religion added in. Join us online Sunday mornings at 10:15 Central at csbiblechurch.org. It's just God's Word, csbiblechurch.org.
Now, more than maybe ever, we could all use a little getaway. And the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas is the perfect spot. We are open for business and with well-thought-out precautions to help keep our guests safe. Bring the RV and enjoy our full-service hookups complete with cable TV, ramped-up Wi-Fi, and space to spread around while enjoying a great view of Grapevine Lake. We can comfortably accommodate any size RV or motorhome with plenty of pull-through sites. The Vineyards also features spacious lakefront cabins, fully equipped with all that you and your family will need to enjoy comfort camping. Our campground store is well-stocked with everything from groceries and ice to firewood and fishing supplies. Don't forget to bring the boat! The Vineyards Campground and Cabins features a private boat ramp with plenty of parking, a private beach, kayak, bicycle and paddleboard rentals, and even a full-service laundry on-site. Come to the Vineyards! We're right in the middle of Dallas-Fort Worth, but you'll feel millions of miles away. VineyardsCampground.com.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the metal can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com, 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
We thank God for the freedom, our men and women that defend it, and the Constitution that guarantees it. Welcome to Camp with Kender Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Today, while you are enjoying time on the boat or maybe shoot a round of sporting clays, DSC will stand before your elected officials and remind them just how important your rights to hunt, fish, and shoot are. Even if you're not a member of DSC, we fight for you every day. BigGame.org.
Hey, the website is KinderOutdoors.com, K-I-N-D-E-R, KinderOutdoors.com. That's where you register for that $4,000 Dillon Manufacturing blind and $2,000 archery shopping spree at Cinnamon Creek Ranch that we're giving away, a $6,000 package. Register at KinderOutdoors.com. And if you will follow Kender Outdoors on Facebook, you're going to get bonus entry opportunities from time to time. Just go to Kender Outdoors on Facebook, click follow, and you're going to be able to stack the deck a little bit, get multiple entries in there for this thing that we're going to give away in mid-December. You know, it's so important to take a kid fishing, and you never know how far that will go. Listen to this conversation with a guy that many regard the greatest bass angler of all time, Kevin Van Dam.
Can you remember at what age who first stuck a rod and reel in your hand? Can you remember?
Yeah, my dad took me fishing when I was 3 years old. And, you know, I was pretty much ate up with it ever since that time.
And you went out and caught a 43-pound string, and your dad said, I may have something here.
You know what? When I first started out, I just fished for bluegills and stuff. But, you know, I think I caught my first bass when I was 6 years old. And I just grew up fishing for whatever. It didn't really matter, you know, just anything that would bite. And but I liked bass, you know, more than anything else. And it did. I mean, it stuck with me for sure.
You're Superman. It's unreal the success you've had, the best ever at the game of professional bass fishing. It's just phenomenal when folks sit down and look at what you've done. But what does fishing do for you? Just fishing.
I love it. I mean, if you know, I do it as a job, but that's what I like to do when I'm not doing it. You know, not competing is still fish. I just. I'm passionate about it. I think all these guys would tell you the same thing, that you know, you truly have to love it. And I do. It's my favorite thing to do.
What's Kevin Van Dam do on his day off?
I go fishing.
Go fishing, that's it.
No doubt we all love to fish, but think about this, guys. What if you walked into the kitchen this evening and said to the wife, honey, I'm going to quit my job and I'm just going to fish for a living. What would the reaction be like at home? Probably not a whole lot different than the reaction that a lot of the world's top-notch pros receive from their families.
Kevin Van Dam, when you decided you were going to fish for a living, did anyone in your family look at you and go, Kevin, let's talk about this? That's crazy.
My grandfather was adamant that I, you know, do something different, need to get a real job, go to college, learn something else, to have a normal job. So You know, he got to see a little bit of the success that I had in the beginning, but he truly never got to see every, you know, before he passed away, everything that I did, which is something that, you know, is a little bit regrettable. But, yeah, so my parents were always supportive. My family's been supportive. But my grandfather, he just didn't understand it, you know.
Well, I can understand that. Well, I would say that it worked out okay for you.
Yeah, it's been a smart choice for me.
How about Mike Iaconelli? When you told your family that you wanted to fish for a living, Mike, what'd they say to you? You're nuts?
Well, my family didn't say that. Most of my friends, classmates, peers, all thought I was crazy. My family actually supported it.
Yeah.
But they were the ones that kind of started it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they got me involved in the sport when I was just, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old.
Yeah.
And they watched me as I kind of fell in love with bass in my early teens. And so they watched the process.
Right.
So they were all very, very supportive of it. But a lot of my friends thought I was crazy.
Yeah, thought you were nuts, and now they're all going, you know, maybe we should have followed in his footsteps on that deal. That would have been okay. I know you've told the story a million times about how fishing affected you when you were a kid.
Yeah.
So it's got to thrill you when you look across the country and see fishing in colleges, fishing in high schools, man.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great feeling. I think all of us are proud. Anybody, you know, anybody that's a veteran of the sport feels like they were a part of the growth of the sport, and I do too. And that's so exciting. So exciting to see it, you know. When you have young fans come to a tournament or one of our Bass University classes or message you on social media and they're 10, 12, 15, 18 and they're eager and they're hungry, man, it's such a good feeling to see that. You know, you feel like you're passing it on to the next generation.
Yeah, a lady came up to me at church back in November and she knew I was in the outdoor business and she said, hey, my grandson wants a fishing rod for Christmas. I said, that's great. She said, no, it's not. It's a $500 fishing rod. So you know the kid's been studying.
He's been studying hard, yeah. I think he's looking at the Ish Monroe rods or something for $500. I don't know.
You could probably find him a bargain.
I'll find him a bargain. Ike Series rods are only $130.
See, there we go. Now we're talking. Good luck, Ike.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Luke Clausen, Matt Heron, and Dave Lefebvre all had interesting family stories to share. Pay particular attention to Matt Heron's story. Luke, we're going to start with you. Same question to all you guys. When you first told your family that you wanted to fish for a living instead of a real job, how'd they take that?
Not well. They told me to get a real job. Give it up, yeah.
Did you get a little pressure from your folks or the wife or who?
No, from my parents. But I was young enough at that time, I really didn't care. So
yeah.
I just went and did what I wanted to do anyway.
So you went on. It's a good thing you did.
Yeah, I'm glad. It was a good decision.
It's working out for you. It's working out. Matt, how about you? Did anybody tell you were nuts?
Oh, yeah, mom, dad, wife. You know, I'm 38 years old, walk in the kitchen, tell the wife, baby, I'm going fishing for a living. She cried for about 2 weeks. And finally, she come in there one night and she says, I don't care what you do for a living, but the day you can't pay the bills fishing, you come home and get a job and learn how to say, do you want a biggie size that? I don't care as long as you pay the bills. So,
hey, that'll make you fish harder, brother.
That's it, man.
That'll keep you focused. Dave Lefebvre, how about you, man? Anybody give you any trouble when you said, I want to fish?
Yeah, I think everybody in my family did except for my grandma and my gramps.
Really?
Yeah, I had an art scholarship to go do something with myself, you know. And when I didn't go to college, well, you know, back then not everybody went to college like they do now.
Right.
So I had a choice to make, and I ended up going the fishing way, and they weren't too happy with me, let's put it that way. But they deny it now. They don't remember it.
I don't pass up to that now. At what point in your career did that happen when they said, you know what, he can do this. He's pretty good.
I had a good first year, right? My rookie year, I fished the Bass Tour and the FLW Tour. And I did well. I made the Classic, made the Tour Cup, you know, and won a lot of money that first year, more than my dad was making. So they changed their tune right off the bat. And then ever since, it's all been 100% behind me. So.
So when your dad saw your paycheck, did he come to you and say, hey, Dave, tell me about this fishing thing. How do I get in?
My dad asked to borrow $7,000 last week.
How about Andy Morgan? Andy, at some point in your life, you said,
I'm going to fish for a living. And I'm sure some people looked at you sideways, didn't they?
Yeah, about half of them. You know, all my buddies, my family, like, you're a fool. Fish for a living? You know, no, to be truthful, where I live right there in East Tennessee, it was a possibility. But when I came through high school, I missed my high school graduation because of a bass tournament.
I love it, man. That's great. That's great. Well, we knew right then what you were. You went to college on graduation night, didn't you?
I did. Speaking of college, I went a semester and a half and had a bass tournament. That was the end of my college career right there. And we'll leave it at that.
Brian Thrift, how about you? When you said, I'm going to fish for a living, I'm going to smell like fish the rest of my life, what'd your folks say?
Oh, they were all for it.
Good.
I really didn't have anybody telling me that it wasn't a thing to do, you know. I'm not far from Andy Morgan over in North Carolina, and it, like he said, it's a viable option. You know, there's so many tournaments. I mean, you can make a living fishing local stuff around the house.
Right, yeah. So, well, you're making a living on a bigger stage than that and doing it pretty doggone good, man. You know how to stick a hook in a green one's face.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll stumble into one. Find a big dumb one every once in a while.
From that first BASS tournament that Ray Mirsky fished in many years ago, to the multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars won at our championship tournaments these days, the fishing industry's come a long way. I hope you've enjoyed our bass show today. I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the time we've had together and invite you right back to this old camphouse next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.